Busy TV.
To those suffering from anxiety and depression, I salute you. No, not really. I empathize with you, and it's a frightening thing because you feel trapped, right? It could be panic-inducing when you feel depressed or anxious. Some people, they're cyclical. That is, they have their big swings, like manic depressives or bipolar people, I guess. I want to say bipolar. You cycle through these feelings of euphoria and purpose, and then you fall back into this dark valley. And if you're aware of the cycle, then you know, yeah, okay, if I just wait it out, I'm going to come out of it. My particular affliction is that I have this low-grade depression. In other words, it's not cycling. It's just kind of constant. And that, can tend to induce panic. Like, I can't get out of this. And it's a terrible feeling to think that you can't do anything about it. Really bad thoughts. Like being in an elevator with too many people. Too small an elevator with too many people. It seems like, you know, and if that elevator were to get stuck, it would induce panic. And me, I would freak out, tend to be claustrophobic. If you're ever in St. Louis and you're claustrophobic, don't take the little white cars up the arch like I did. I looked at it and I shook my head and I said, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. There's these little tiny white plastic cars that four people get into. They're horrific. There's something out of the Middle Ages, and they take you up the arch, and I was talked into it, and I just went for it, and I just prayed to God the whole time that it would continue its course to the top, and it did, and I thank God, and the view from the top of the St. Louis Arch is magnificent, but if you have any degree of claustrophobia, it ain't worth it. Do not attempt it. Because then later I read an article about it, those cars did stop. A few of them got stuck. You can't even imagine. If I find a picture, I'll put it in here. But that's how it feels when you can't seem to do anything. Like when you were young, you could generate certain things. You could do things to make you happy. And I know this is why people drink. I'm thinking I need to drink more, maybe. I take Kratom, and it helps, but then you get used to it, you don't get adapted to it, you get a tolerance for it, and then you have to take more, and then I don't want to do that, so I have to dial it back, and then so you're always looking for a crutch. But I have good news for you, and it's good news for myself, too. It's that just as we feel trapped in sin and death, which we are now, trapped in what Solomon called vanity. Part of me wants to make this title Trapped in Anxiety, Trapped in Glory, or Trapped in Depression, Trapped in Glory. Because when this thing changes, when we're changed, we are going to be just as not able to get out of the glory, because the glory will never degrade. No matter what good mood you happen to get into, if you happen to get in the one, congratulations. You know, you ride it for a little while, and you know it's going to degrade. It's you want to hang on to every moment of feeling good. I remember back in the early 80s, when I was living in Greenwich, Ohio, raising my family. My wife's grandfather had a dog, and he kind of had to feel sorry for this dog. It was an outdoor dog, and it was kept outside in a doghouse on like a heavy chain, and the chain wasn't exactly long. I guess you might call it short. And I remember my brother-in-law, Matt, we were out there on Thanksgiving, I think it was actually, and he said, look at that poor dog. That's such a short chain. I really feel sorry for that dog. And I remember saying to him, I said, you need to feel sorry for yourself. what? He was several years younger than me. Couldn't quite grasp the concept, probably does now. I said, you would be shocked if you actually knew what a short leash you were on, how little you can do. I don't mean to sound completely or any measure fatalistic here. There are things we can do to change our situations, and we should try. We should do things to get out of whatever depression or anxiety we might feel. But there's only certain things we can do because we're only human. You can't wave a magic wand and make yourself happy. You can't jump over your house. You can't defy gravity. You know what I mean? You can't decide not to die. You can't decide to stay awake for 10 days. I mean, you just are limited in so many ways. And I tried to communicate that fact to my brother-in-law, and he just didn't get it. Like I say, he probably gets it now. He's been through life, but we are trapped. And that's where the panic can set in. And to get out of it, I recommend breathing. And I recommend contemplating the truth that the future glory that is promised us will be just as inescapable as this seems. But this is not inescapable. This is temporary. That's the beautiful thing I'd like to communicate with you. What is seen is temporary. There's the scripture verse. Paul says, some people misquote this as what is seen is temporal, but what is not seen is eternal, as if God here is comparing eternity to time. It's not that at all. It's comparing a long time to a short time. What you are going through now is temporary. Even if I'd gotten stuck on the St. Louis Arch, it would have been temporary. A minute can seem like an hour in that situation, I can imagine. But it's temporary. The best news I ever heard in common literature was, this too shall pass. This shall pass. When people tell a story, they say, and it came to pass. Yes, it did. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Our trials are temporary. What is seen now is temporary, and thus what is felt is temporary. But the things that we will be enjoying in the future, which depend on their contrastive experiences now, those things are lasting. That's why our Lord said, store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth doesn't eat, thief doesn't steal, rust doesn't destroy. Because the things that you have on earth are eaten, destroyed, stolen, and they don't bring you any pleasure. That's the frustrating thing, is you can't really find anything that's the perfect solution. So whatever problem you have, if you are suffering from either low-grade depression or heavy depression that cycles, or you're bipolar, or you're on the Polar Express, or you have crushing anxiety. I've talked to people who have anxiety. I mean, I have touches of it once in a while, but I mean, some people say they can't even get out of bed and everything scares the hell out of them. And thank God it's cyclical, but I can't imagine living in a constant state of that. I don't recommend taking medication like pharmaceuticals, but hell, if you can't take it anymore, you'll try anything. That's the thing. You will try anything. I'm also taking a pharmaceutical, but I'm not sure I need it really. I don't think it's doing anything, to be honest with you. The Kratom is doing much more for me than that is. I don't know what would happen if I stopped taking it, but And this is why I say, and I hear it from you, you say it all the time, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, end this. Will you please end this? You know, I'm sure there are things we can do, I can do to improve my health. I cannot eat so much freaking sugar. I know. I can drink more almond milk. But, hey, we're all doing what we can. We're only human. But I wanted to address this panic that sets in when you don't think you can get out of your situation. And you look down the tunnel of time and it looks dark and you don't see any light. That's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling. You can't get out of it. I can't get out of it. And you feel like you're going to go out of your head. And you feel like you can't breathe. And you feel like you're going crazy or something. And you feel like if you look to the left, you look to the right, and there's no relief. There's no help. There's no help. And that's when you need to turn on MCTV. I'm serious. That's what I do. I watch my own shows. It's like, okay, talk me down, Zender. Talk me down, Zender. And I do. I talk myself down. I do. Who knows? I might be watching this show a month from now, and this show will help me. So I hope it helps you now. We're suffering together. And I really do think that this is why I can't be happy. I've wondered before if it's a situational depression or a physical depression, something in the brain. And I think it is situational. But I think the situation is Eon 3. That's the problem. The situation is, my brothers and sisters, you are suffering too. I do think it's situational. So, but again, the situation will continue until Christ comes and snatches us away. That's the only solution. I suppose, yeah, you could sleep. I wish I could sleep better, you know, but people who can sleep, for God's sake. Just go to bed. Drop it, man. Drop it. Get unconscious. Get yourself some unconsciousness. Scoop some of that up and enjoy it, which is also a kind of a tragedy. You can't enjoy it while it's happening because you're unconscious. I'll tell you what, it's a setup. This whole thing's a setup. No wonder Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. I will say to you that the greatest thought I'm going to leave you with is the permanence of the future bliss, the future happiness, the permanence and the transitoriness of what we're going through now. Even though it looks dark to you and like, I can't get out of this, and you feel the panic coming on, breathe through it and tell yourself that it's temporary. It came to pass. Keep telling yourself that. It came to pass. Or use the scriptural phrase, the things that are seen are temporary. Temporary. Read the Concordant version there, because the King James botches it. Things that are seen are temporary. Yet the things of the future that we will be coming into soon are age-abiding and indeed eternal.